Last week on the show, we celebrated a major milestone, 250 episodes. Today, we celebrate two more major milestones. The first time we're reviewing a topic for the third time.
And the establishment and inaugural induction to the Hisui 10 Timers Club, past a no-doubt future guest of the show, Michael Delaney. So join us as we celebrate this special occasion of milestones and as we review Solo, A Star Wars Story.
How Star Wars!
Pam, 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 pam. Woohoo!
Da 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 da. The celebration.
I didn't. I almost counted my appearance count, but I was like, no, I don't know. I don't really know how to gauge it because there's like a splice of one episode where I'm not actually in it.
Yeah. Like yeah. when we went and saw Rise of Skywalker, and it was just like a clip of us going.
Oh, there's that too. You did the extended universe episode.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
And Michael Delaney provided the game for that episode. Mm-hmm. But hey, welcome to the show. This is How Star Wars Is It, and you just heard that staying in the show.
I was like, all right, are you going to talk? I guess I'll talk.
No, that's staying in the show. Welcome. This is a surprise party for Michael Delaney.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
The acquaintance
has become my go-to, like, celebration song. Welcome to
He's a jolly good fellow.
10 times. I have my own jacket already,
That's right, the Han Solo jacket.
10 years.
And for all the rest of you listening, this is How Star Wars Is It. This is the only podcast, and it's where we rate and review every topic on a scale of 1 to 10 of how Star Wars it is. And we're taking a little detour today of trying to cover everything. Look, we can go at our own pace, and it's good to be thorough. So we're revisiting a movie we have already revisited.
Yeah. We've done this movie twice, and we're going to do it again.
And
because we have an expert guest.
That's right. And as we alluded to in the intro, and as you've already heard, please welcome the first ever 10 Timers Club member of the Hisui guest Rolodex.
The guest Rolodex!
Guest Michael Delaney.
Hi.
Yes.
Glad to be here. I always hate this, like, I got my sound booth thing set up, but, like, the camera on this is so awful, and it's just not good quality. But anyways, before we begin, I want to check in with you guys, because I've caught up on a couple of your episodes, and I just want to see, are you okay? Are you guys doing okay?
Oh man, wait until you hear last week's episode where Lior just roasts us.
I listened to, I forget which one, but you were like, yeah, I don't think we're going to do it about Star Wars anymore. And then you did the Batman v Superman episode, and it just seems like kind of a tough time for you guys.
We're a couple of Charlie Browns as we approach Christmas. We just don't know what Star Wars is all about. We need Linus to tell us.
Oh my God. I need that so bad. I need a Charlie Brown Christmas.
That's
for Star
not
Wars.
What Star Wars is all about. Mike Gospel? Is Brown his last name?
And then he goes on to tell you the entire story of Jesus being born.
Yeah, yeah.
Does everyone remember that is pretty religious special?
we were talking about the Thanksgiving one recently and how that certainly doesn't hold up for a lot of reasons, me and my family.
Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, popcorn. No, I don't think we're doing okay.
No, we're not doing okay at all.
I'm trying to remember what else. What? So you listened to Batman versus Superman?
I listened to which I refer to exclusively on my videos as the movie where Batman tries to murder Superman with a spear in a men's restroom, because that's where it happens. It's Barbarian. Listen to that one. Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, that's right. We recorded that like the day before you and I saw each other playing mini golf.
Oh, okay.
Because we saw that elevator with that thing.
Well, here's, like, I was driving back from Indiana, And for my mind has been kind of racing on what to do for topic-wise for the game, and I was thinking about, like, oh, like, Kira does some, like, Crimson Rain as a Marvel comic thing that she does, and I'm like, what's... I just jumped to Shadows of the Empire for no reason, and on my drive back, I decided to listen to the audiobook, but then I'm like, this is boring. I am going to fall asleep. So I turned you guys on instead and listened to, like, Lee, Extraordinary Gentleman, which was good.
Oh, sure.
It's a good app. It's a good app. Can I... Let me see. Guys, who's... Michael Delaney has been on... How Star Wars Is It 10 times.
In like a proper full episode appearance type of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
This being the 10.
How many...
There's many episode cameos for the wiki.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the wiki out there, just so everyone knows. How many people have been on SNL more than 10 times?
Oh, good question. So right off the bat, jumping into a game, and I also have a game to jump into before we get much further.
good.
How many people have been on who have hosted SNL more than 10 times? Obviously, I know that like some of the like heavy hitters are in like the 20s, like Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin doesn't even hardly count anymore because he's hosted a million times, but then he also played Trump for like 4 years.
He did?
Yeah, for a long time. I must have missed that.
10 or more hosting appearances. I'm going to guess 10.
You've already got two of them out of the way.
Is it 10?
No, way less.
Oh,
well, not
shit.
Way less, but less.
Okay, so Tom Hanks is one, I bet.
Yes, Tom Hanks is one. And he already said Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin. Yeah. Can you name a couple more?
Did Martin Short... Was he wasn't on the cast, was he?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But is he not one?
No.
And timer.
Are you watching Only Murders in the Building? Because that's coincidental. You mentioned both of those guys back to back.
I watched the first two seasons, and we kind of hated season two, and we were like, there's more?
Yeah, I'm like not watching it because I love it. It's more like comfort food in the background, for sure.
Let's see, who else?
One, these next... Okay, I'm going to give you a clue.
Uh-huh.
There's only 5 people that have done in total.
5?
10 or more.
Are others SNL cast members? Like, is Will Ferrell at 10 yet?
No, but you've already named 3, so only have 2 more to name. Uh-huh. One of them is, I don't know who it is.
What?
So that's
you don't recognize the name?
So famous that they've hosted Saturday Night Live 10 times? Okay.
One, I don't know who it is. The other one will surprise you, maybe?
Is it like George Carlin?
No.
Okay.
I know who George Carlin is. Thank you.
But I'm just trying.
Whoever it is, you're about to look really stupid.
I'm about to look like a real idiot.
Are there any women?
Not in the top 5.
Josiah doesn't know any women.
I don't know any women. Not even my own girlfriend. I don't know her. You know, how can you... And Michael Delaney, how can you really know a woman? You know, can you, like, know a sunset? You know what I mean?
Preach.
You know, that's like kind of a paraphrasing of the very first line of Gone Girl, which I just watched again last night. And that movie rips.
Yeah, that movie's good.
God damn, who else?
I have no concept. It's going to be a Steve Martin level, like, type comedian, I feel like.
Is it like a rock star? Like a Paul McCartney?
Well, here's the clue. One, I don't know who it is.
Right.
And they did all of it in the first 5 years of the show.
Yeah, that's why I guess Carlin.
The second one is a surprise to me. And he's a big name, but like not as much lately. Really big in the 90s.
O.J. Simpson.
And 80s.
Eddie Murphy is what I was going to say.
O.J. Simpson. It's John.
Oh, yes.
And Buck Henry, who's the one who I don't know who that is.
You don't know Buck?
I actually don't know that. I know the name, but I don't.
No, I don't know. I don't know who that is.
I don't know Buck Henry.
That's actually my game is, you don't know Buck?
You don't know Buck.
Oh, he co-created Get Smart, the TV show, with Mel Brooks. So he's like a Mel Brooksy type, it would seem.
Yeah, he did all of his hosting in the late 70s, early, like up until 1980.
Man,
so he
was a
big
different time
then.
When you could be like the guest host on The Muppets and just be like a Broadway star or like a comedy writer.
Yeah, for real. So Alec Baldwin's hosted 17 times, Steve Martin 16 times, John Goodman 13, Tom Hanks 10, Buck Henry 10.
I'm Tom Hanks.
No one else.
And Buck Henry.
Yeah, you are as good as Tom Hanks and Buck Henry.
Yeah, awesome. But as good as they are on SNL, you are on this show.
Yes. You are the Tom Hanks to our our SNL.
All right, and real quick before we do any more actual real discussion.
Real.
I have another game of my own. This is, can the two of you name the other 9 episodes that Michael Delaney was a guest on?
Probably. All right,
can we work together?
Yeah. And you also have to say what number they were.
Oh god. That's okay.
No, I'll give you the number.
You said we're at 250, so I'm gonna say just to guess. 250 221 is A Mask of the Phantasm.
Funny enough, you're like right between 221 is right between your latter two. Mm. They were number 236 and number 217. So Phantasm was 236.
We work backwards, or should we try to go from the beginning?
I'd work backwards. So that's
okay.
Phantasm, Dark Knight,
Phantasm
Rises.
Yep, that was Dark Knight Rises.
I feel like the last time before that was the Batman, or was I on there between that? Yeah, so it was just like 3 Batmans in a row,
and that was number 160. That was like a huge gap.
Yeah, you left.
We had a falling out. We didn't say.
Yeah,
yeah, that's when you went solo. A Star Wars story.
Oh my God. A Star Wars story.
I've done at least, I'm going to jump around. I know I did Attack of the Clones twice, or not Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith twice.
Right?
Yes.
I did Solo once.
Yeah, that was Solo Revisited. I don't know. We're going to have to come up with a subtitle for this one. Solo Revisited or a new name?
Yeah.
Revisited
Solo
again?
Solo Revisited 2.
The very specific logic of I like Groundhog Day, but you didn't have me on the Groundhog Day episode, so you had me on the Groundhog Day movie episode, Edge of... No.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow?
That's
what
it's called?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That seemed wrong.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah. solid logic.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Hey, you love Groundhog Day. We've done that already, but do you want to do...
Sorry, do you want to do this one?
I feel like I probably did at least one more Star Wars, maybe, no?
You did 2 Revenge of the Siths and 1 other solo, so now it'll be 2 Siths and 2 solos, and then there's 2 more, and they are both of a series.
Okay.
Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible's 3/6.
/ holiday, Lego holiday special.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lego holiday special.
Yep. Anyway, that was that game.
Woohoo!
That's fun.
Shall we continue circle jerking, or...
Jerk away.
But so, okay, you... I can't remember how this came up, but you... Did you reach out and say, I want to do solo again?
Yeah. I'm so behind on, like, stuff that I'm working on. Like, I'm... gonna finish a video on fucking Ahsoka in a couple of days.
Oh yes,
but
I'm excited for that.
But like, yeah, Solo is like a comfort movie for me, so I threw it on one night, and then I was like noticing some more things, and I texted them, guys, maybe, because we were talking about me coming on again. We got to do Solo, because I just can't waste time making another Solo video. It just can't happen. But I will, I told you this already, I am going to do a Solo Star Wars reference redux. So, because I rewatched it, I'm pretty proud of that first video, but it's, there's some editing and tightening that could be done. I'm not going to really change anything else. Maybe add in... Jedi rocks, like I said, but other than that,
special edition of your Star Wars video.
Yes, which, like, I kind of get, like, this is going to be very silly, but it's just like I understand the notion of George Lucas with the special edition. It's a wrong notion, but there is always that, like, desire to be like, oh, I can't believe I missed that, or I can't believe I didn't do that. I want to fix it now. Like, but very few people have the power and money to like re-cement their pavement. Like,
and even like energy. You know, like I literally last night finished a thing I was working on for work at about like 5:15 or 5:30. But as I looked at it, I was like, there are like 3 different things I would do here, and I'm not doing anything tonight. Now's the time. So I worked till like 7 or 7:30 last night just because I was like kind of on a roll, and I could do the special edition like the minute I finished the original, you know, like keep the creativity rolling. And while on a normal day I would be a little pissy if I like worked that late, I said I had nothing going on, and I was just like satisfied that I came to a better conclusion before like putting it to bed, you know.
Well, that's my Ahsoka thing. There's like a million different things I could say, but I'm just like, you got it, man. It just work with what you got.
Yeah.
So yeah, Solo Redux coming. Ahsoka, hopefully sooner than, yeah. So like, I guess you want to just go into Solo from the top?
Yeah. So I want to hear the like things you've said you've like noticed in, like, when you say it's your comfort movie, how often would you say you watch Solo?
Too many times. like I like to make the excuse that like, oh, like I really want to like bathe in it and like figure out some bullshit. But like usually it's like me smoking a little weed and seeing what happens. But I just because, and I said this on the last episode, I mean, the only reason I have this jacket is because the movie failed. Because like if it's, we, you know, I always talk about fan culture and the time we live in and how kind of gross it is. But yeah, like if Solo was a success and everybody knew what that coat was, there's no way I'd have it. I don't like,
yes,
like,
right,
like, I won't wear a Return of the Jedi shirt, but if you gave me a Blue Harvest shirt,
totally,
I'd read that.
Yeah.
Or
I'd wear that. But, so, yeah, I mean, it's an underdog movie, and that's why I like it, because it fails. Because it, because it's a specific Star Wars failure, and all the things that are Star Wars successes now are just such a bummer to me. Like they're so nothing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I've said it before, like, I respect a swing and a miss, like, for what it tries and the things that do work. And I laugh at the silly stuff in between. It's just why did this happen? So,
and it's like a swing and a miss where, like, the swing was for the fences.
Yeah. They,
and also, was it the first, like, I know that, okay, I'm not going to say, like, in, okay, because the prequels were all successful.
Right.
Not critically successful.
Right, but commercially.
Commercially successful. Solo was kind of the first flop of the modern era, at least, where it was like, this movie both did not do well and also was not considered to be good. So it was kind of like a watershed moment for Star Wars, where it was like, oh no, Star Wars can fail?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I would say Force Awakens was like enough of like a nothing, like, you know, it was like, here's the same Star Wars in a new package,
right,
that like nobody got super polarized on it. And Rogue One, I think there were maybe a little murmurings of like, I liked it, I didn't really like it, but it was still sort of like, oh cool, it looks like Star Wars. And then The Last Jedi is where like camps seem to start forming, but then when Solo came out, everyone kind of unanimously was like, what the hell was that?
Well, for a minute there, like, I mentioned this I think on one of the other episodes, that so before my Solo was Solo, Rise of Skywalker was my Solo. I wanted to watch that a handful of times and be like, what the fuck? But quarantine led me to other places and Solo became the one for me. But yeah.
And Rise of Skywalker is sort of painful, whereas Solo is like stupid. But
I mean, Rise of Skywalker is bowing to like the worst people. I mean, it's just like, you know, being like, okay, we heard you, we'll just do the stuff you like.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas Solo is like, we don't know who this is for.
We
don't even know who directed it.
It's just because it's like a, like I said, it's an underdog, and everybody's just like, what? And I'm like, yeah, Solo, you know.
Yeah.
The movie.
A Star Wars story?
Where the Millennium Falcon loses the mandible notch. and again, like, I remember seeing this movie and having this thought at the time, like, I'm glad that they didn't have like young Harrison Ford look alike, but I was like, this guy Alden Ehrenreich could play a young Jack Nicholson. But then now I think I hate all of those thoughts and anybody who has them. I'm just like, can we just like stop doing either the cast look alike or the CGI de-aging? Like, just stop. Like, just move on. Move forward. I mean,
if your thought is like, we could get so-and-so to play a young so-and-so, you're thinking of that person's character they played in whatever. Like a young Jack Nicholson, what if we did before he became Colonel Jessup from A Few Good Men? Like,
what if we did that smiley guy from Batman 89?
Yeah, like, if that's your thought, just, you're compelled by this young new actor, write a new movie and have him play that type of character.
Yeah. I mean,
don't
that's...
just be like, we only have this one thing. Movies that exist already.
Right. The IP nostalgia safe bet. You know, that's why we still, like, it's I did the math. It's a 67-year span of time between 1 and 9, I believe. And maybe there's a few things after that that still happen. But for the most part, it's filling in the blanks. And, like, while I am inclined to be like, every story can have an impact, these are not... like, Star Wars is not that complex. So, right. Like, for the most part, you are looking for these big swings to see what happens. Like, oh, well, like, where does this take the Rebel Alliance now? And I'm like, oh, we already know where it takes the Rebel Alliance now. Right. Or we already know that the New Republic fails and they're the fucking worst. But, like, you know, that I would love it if they move forward. Like, and I was re-listening to one of the episodes, and I like kind of... hearing your optimism or thoughts, and at one point Mike said something like, well, they're gonna make some new movies, and then Josiah's like, no they're not. He's like, I know that's what they say, but they're not. And that's like absolutely true. Like, the safe bet is this TV shit.
I was literally just about to say, are we ready for the Taika Waititi trilogy that's supposedly going to happen? Because that's also
worse and worse
not going to happen
as time goes by. Like, I really enjoyed Thor Ragnarok, and I enjoyed Jojo Rabbit. I feel like there's a lot of opinions about that for whatever reason. But now, like, he has just become this insufferable person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure he's going to make a great Star Wars movie in 10 years when it finally comes out.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's this other sort of fan, not to, like, come after you if you are one of them, because, like, I don't dislike this movie. I do think it's confounding. So, like, the reasons I like it, I think, are the same reasons you're saying, where it's like, oh, what a strange thing to exist in the first place. But,
correct.
Like, there is, like, a whole sort of, like, fan movement about, like, loving this movie entirely sincerely, wanting there to be a series of sequels in this sort of little corner where there's, like, essentially it's like the Kira trilogy is, I think, what people want, because she's the only new character who has kind of any new
agency.
I mean I like it because
there's no more, and I'm tired of the excess. I'm tired of everything. I mean, Star Wars is just less special because there's a million things of it. I was over Thanksgiving, I made some quip about, like, well, arguably I hate Star Wars, and my sister Megan, she's gonna listen to this, hi Meg, is very literal, and she's like, so wait, you hate Star Wars? And I was like, no, that's not what I mean. I hate, like, what it's become in the culture and everything, but, you know, obviously I still love Star Wars. It kind of struck me how, like, even the videos that have nothing to do with Star Wars, like the Lightyear video, I always come back to referencing Star Wars. Like, it's something that's not going to leave me because it's something that's always been a part of me, and of course it's something that's always present now. Right. I find it more interesting to comment on the state of Star Wars than I do, like, the MCU. Because the MCU, I'm just like, everybody's kind of just like, but, so, do you want to go through some of the notes that I had?
Yeah.
This is great, because this is less a review of Solo, and more of, like you just said, state of the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, this episode.
Confronting what we've been doing for 4 years.
Yeah, this is like a confrontation of ourselves to ourselves, where we were like, all right, well, here's where things lie right now, and it's not looking good.
That's what I tend to do. Like, I think the last video I put out, I was temporarily named State of the Union, because I feel like that's what I'm always doing. It's like, this is who we are. Do we want to be these people?
I love it. Well, yeah, if you have some notes, now's the time.
All right, the first thing that I saw was like right at the beginning, like he bumps into Moloch or whoever, and he was just like, oh, I was just on my way to see Proxima. And it's just like, oh, I was just on my way to see Jabba. It's like,
yeah, right.
Why that? Like, can you just not, like, you know, this is a silly thing more than like that kind of critique, but it's just like, why does Lady Proxima have a window in her lair? It's just like, it's like Superman having like a big old thing of kryptonite in the corner.
Yeah.
That's something. So strange. Those were like the first things that Jenny Nicholson said in her video, which I've probably seen more than I've seen Solo itself. But like, she was like, if your whole thing is you can't be in the sunlight.
Right.
And you're like a gooey slug monster that has to be in darkness. Why did you pick a lair that has a skylight?
Yes, absolutely.
Traffic cops. Disney loves traffic cops. Yeah. Like the stormtroopers in this, the Mandalorian, that one guy that seems to be like the new star.
Yeah.
Lego Star Wars, the holiday special, there's a good one with like the clone troopers being like, oh, I hate traffic cop duty. Then they like, jinx, jinx, double jinx. and then...
Cute.
Not Star Wars, but is Star Wars, because J.J. Abrams, like, there's, like, a traffic cop in Star Trek 09 that pulls over Kirk, like, young yes. Kirk in the beginning.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned this a second ago, the New Republic, and how, it, like, the little we have seen of it, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It is just, like... I think the idea, the invention of like the First Order as like the new empire for The Force Awakens, I think was kind of a necessary choice, because otherwise it's not Star Wars. It's right. Star, like, we saved the day. I don't know. There could have been a number of ways they could have gone to not essentially just remake a New Hope, but like so much of this like current era, the like TV era, is just like, you know what would be cool to see? Like a new government that doesn't know how to do government, but they do know how to be cops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
that's very pro cop.
Yeah.
Like the you know, the trilogy, obviously, whether or the prequel trilogy, whether it's executed well or not, is the whole like downfall of a republic and turning to a dictatorship.
Yeah.
And then you have like 2 weeks, maybe less, more.
Yeah.
After Return of the Jedi, where they're just like, I don't know, I guess we suck at being a republic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
What if it's just cops?
It's just like, it's like if a kid is throwing a tantrum, they really want something. And or they really want to, like, they don't want to do a thing you're asking them to do. So then you're like, okay, we'll do it however you want. And then they're like, I don't know how to.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, well,
I'm only
you
five.
Said you fucking wanted. I made you in charge now.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier, like, I have like five different ideas that I tried to approach for like the game that I was going to eventually do, and one of them was like. Because I did, like, the commentary thing before. And I tried, like, really hard. Like, I almost bought the Blu-ray for this. But, like, I couldn't be sure that it had a commentary track. Like, they believe in this so little that it's just not, like, a listed feature on the thing. Mm. I think I found out today there might be one. But, like, there was none that I could find. And I almost thought about doing your commentary and quizzing you on what you said. But I was like... No, I think they have a pretty good idea of their voices. That's not going to be as fun.
Wow. It's funny that you say that, because you're going to listen to the 250th episode and find out that Mike for sure doesn't know which one of us is which.
Yeah, okay. Lior quizzed us on things that we have both said on the show and asked us who said it, and I didn't get any of them right, basically.
I think you got one out of five right, Mike.
Well, off the top of my head, I know you guys mentioned like Don Knotts.
Why?
Yeah, like
because you called Han Solo Han or Don, so you're like, he's Don Knotts, yes. Or something. And Kelsey.
You could have said only things we said, yeah. And asked us if we said them or not, and I would have been 50-50.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Why did I bring that up? There was a great.
Oh yeah,
reason.
You said.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. L3, because you guys were talking about her being something like a SJW, you know. Punching bag or whatever you want to say. I mean, this We have to think of a new term, because whenever like we think of a term and the Republicans take it, it's just like not fun anymore. So like woke is a loaded word, but like there's there's like the woke L3 and Han's woke too. Like Han in the World War One like planet, he's just like, well, we're the invaders. It's just like, he's like raising his hand just to be like, just so you know, I'm one of the good ones.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a good guy.
I know I'm in the military, but I don't think we should be doing this.
And, you know, L3's circuit-based genitals and all that, but like, I even tried to track to see if they were like, gonna do like a, you know, even in like technical terms, you have like the male to female cords or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of do something like that where she plugs it into her crotch, but she also has like an arm dick, like RTD.
All the robots do. Yeah,
an arm dick.
But, you know, yeah, like the problem with that whole character is it's trying to be inclusive. I don't know. It's trying to be inclusive, but also like winking and joking about it. Like, if you think about it, their main heist on that planet, on Kessel, they're taking money, essentially, gas, whatever. They're stealing money with the distraction of two slave uprisings.
Yes.
Like, that's the
two
cover.
Two distinct.
Yeah. And sometimes they are played super sincerely, like, oh, wow, yeah, I never really thought about it, but the robots should have rights.
Right.
And then other times it's like, ha, 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 that's such a cute, silly little idea, robots with rights. And like, even her character seems to waffle on the level of sincerity they play her.
Right. It's just when it's convenient.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, the Wookiees are... some of them are slaves there. And I love the, well, first there's always like the heist movie conversation. What are you going to do with your share? Oh, yeah. I'm going to retire. I'm going to do this. And Chewie goes the last one. And he's like, I'm going to free my people. And like, everybody else should have been like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Oh, that's what I was going
to
say.
That's what I want to do. Like, I want to free them with Valacord music.
Yeah.
But, and like, ultimately, I lose track of what happens with the Wookiees there, but like, ultimately, Chewie's just like, nah, I'm not going to help my people. I'm going to help these guys steal.
This random guy.
Sagwa is the name.
A sound system so loud it'll blow a woman's clothes off.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're like, Chewie is like the guy in Italian Job where he like someone's like, oh, you know, I'm going to do all those things.
Yeah, Chewie's the Edward Norton.
I have not watched that movie in so long, so I just remember the speaker part.
Yeah.
The other Wookiee that has a name is Sagwa, and it has a terrible face. And like,
Sagwa is the name of the Chinese cats from PBS.
Well, that's probably a connection.
You guys know that show?
No.
It's the face is almost like Planet of the Apes-ish, right?
Correct.
Like
it's weird.
I was going to say that. They're, especially in the second original Planet of the Apes movie, but maybe also in the first one, for a lot of the background characters, they like just had rubber masks. They didn't have like the very complicated prosthesis. I think it was a lot in the second one because it was cheaper. And this was just like that. It's like, why do it? Don't do it. Like he or she clearly looks like something that can't talk.
Yeah, it's very strange. Sagwa. I got to find a picture of Sagwa real fast.
Really hurt my thumbs. I really like that line. There's when Beckett is shooting in the Millennium Falcon and he says something like, oh, I got him. And it really hurt my thumbs. And I wonder, like, where do we draw the line with like what a good quip is? And like what is what we would say Marvel-y and what is like,
oh, we're using our made up names.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a distinction. I don't know what it is, but like it's,
I think like my gut level distinction is if it undercuts the premise and reality of the world you live in, it feels Marvel-y. Because Marvel like is ashamed of being a comic book.
Everybody's ashamed, man. Like you even mentioned that in Batman vs. Superman. Yeah. It's just like, this is the most successful thing on the planet and you're still apologizing for wearing capes.
Well, and another mention from that episode was when Josiah, when you said when Ma Kent has the only funny line in the whole movie,
right.
and separated on its own, it's like kind of funny. But you're right, like in a 3-hour slog, when she says like, "I know that you're my son's friend because of the cape or whatever," like,
yeah, that got
I think
me.
The other bit is like sincerity.
Yeah,
you know, like it's still like kind of lighthearted, and it's not necessarily it's still a little fourth wall breaky, but when she's like, "I figured the cape," like that, there's like a vulnerability to that, a sincerity to it, in the same way that like it hurt my thumbs to shoot this gun.
Right. That's what it is. It's a fourth wall wink at the camera thing, just without the wink. Like, and you're just like, "Oh, okay, you're here to remind us that we're in a silly movie. Thank you."
Yeah, right. and that line, there's a number of them that you can kind of just still smell the Lord and Miller.
Yeah.
They're good at doing what could definitely be seen as like a fourth wall breaky joke, but having the person believe it when they say it.
Yeah.
Like that is like a pretty fine line that they're pretty good at walking, and like the vulnerability of saying this cool thing hurt my thumbs is like,
well,
it is just so close to being a like, "Man, I gotta get me one of these cool guns that I saw in A New Hope."
Right.
Mm-hmm,
I think it follows the couple of lines where he makes Star Wars like comparisons, like the pot cuddling, calling the kettle black or whatever. He says, "It's like Womp Rats on a bum bum," or whatever, you know, so it's maybe it's a rebound from that. You're like, "Oh, that's funny." He's not doing these kind of lines.
Right. Yeah, right. Like Star Wars Mad Lib.
Right.
Everybody in Star Wars is from the worst planet. Like, everybody is from, like, the shittiest town.
Yeah.
So, like Han's from Corellia. Oh, shit town. Like Dryden Vos is even like, "Oh, the stench, am I right?"
Yeah.
And Luke from Tatooine, obviously, and then Rey from Jakku. Oh, that is nowhere. It's just like, I mean, it's a story shorthand, but
There's like no, I guess it is sort of like a dystopia in a way. Like the universe of Star Wars is strangely dystopian because every planet sucks.
But we don't really have any, at least not that immediately come to mind, stories of someone who did come from means coming to reject
that,
the, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like that, there's some, like, could you say Mon Mothma in that Andor? I am giving Andor credit for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, I think that's probably it. I don't think there's a whole lot I want to say.
But
Lando,
in terms of like the sort of principal protagonist,
originally Lando, maybe? Like, if you think about it, like, he was this commercial. I mean, he lost everything, I guess, right? Like, Cloud City was just like taken over, so I guess he had no choice but to like be a good guy.
right because I'm now trying to think of like stories, Star Wars notwithstanding, that are like, "Oh, this person came to realize that they've had it really nice and they actually want to use their means for a better purpose," and I'm like,
humbling
Batman.
Well, yeah, there you go, Batman. There's not really a Batman character Star Wars.
No.
See what else? Oh, this is a.
How did Batman become Batman?
It
is really crazy that the episodes of this show, you've done 10 episodes. Two were the same movie twice. Two were the same series twice. And then there was also three Batmans. And then the only other thing that wasn't a Star Wars, a Batman, or a Mission Impossible was
Tom Cruise movies.
Star Wars Mission Impossible.
I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with being the resident Batman guy.
Yeah.
But a Mission Impossible connection. Tandy Newton in this movie is in Mission Impossible
MI
2, which has Doug Ray Scott, who is in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Isn't that what you said? I think you said
right.
that.
Yes.
I'm taking your word for it. I hadn't seen it in a long time.
That's right.
So random.
I remember seeing, like, you guys asked me if I wanted to do that movie, and I'm like, probably not. The only thing that I remember from that movie is, like I was probably a freshman in high school, so me and my friend would just quote, in bad Sean Connery accents, "The game is on." Or,
"The game is on."
Or, "Well, that was naughty." And that's all I can tell you about that movie, for the most part. I'm happy to hear that those practical effects.
I had a lot of fun watching that movie.
Yeah, I was happy to hear that they did practical effects. I couldn't remember that at all. Yeah. I just remember going to the movie theater and being like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde isn't the Hulk. I did read it. College was like my renaissance of reading all like the cool comics that you have to read. So I did read some of the League books, and in one of the more recent ones, like, because it's always like these British fictional characters, right? Like, yeah, I forget what the end battle is, but like basically Mary Poppins comes and like shoots lightning at them or something and then saves the day and floats away or something like
Man,
that.
Man, continuing Hell to have yeah. our mind blown about the comics version of League of Extraordinary yeah. Gentlemen.
Hell yeah, that sounds amazing.
Oh my god.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably like the spin-off third version that nobody remembers, but for some reason that's the big thing that sticks out for me.
You staying for the Poppins?
This we were talking about with like the low status planet, whatever, everything's the worst place. Think about like three-dimensional problems with four-dimensional solutions. Like we have the immigration scene essentially, and it's just like, wait, do they have to get out of there to like escape the planet? Can't you just go up? Like, I
right,
like that kind of stuff, you know, which is always like landing the ship like miles away so the characters can walk and talk or whatever.
Right.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, planets are towns in Star Wars because it's like, where are they? They're on this planet. Oh,
yeah.
Easy to find.
Oh, I know that.
That narrows it down.
I stayed at a hotel there.
Yeah. Should we go play a game?
Yeah.
And we can see whatever other notes we have, if there's any other ones afterwards.
Let's do it.
Good.
All right, let's jump to the game. Whee!
Due to our mutual fear of making concrete decisions, Kevin and Thomas have a new comedy podcast that is 100% segments top to bottom. Every week, we spin a wheel of random podcast segments, complete absurd challenges, and get into petty squabbles. We bring on our favorite comedians and guests, and even let you, the audience, decide what happens next to ensure we have as little control as possible. Check out Oops! All Segments wherever you get your podcasts. Do it.
And we're Solo: A Star Wars Story.
After much deliberation, I decided to stick with the classics, and we're going to play another game of Are You For Cal Realsian?
Yeah!
And I'm going to have a subtitle for this one called Kira's Corner with a Q.
Okay.
Good.
So it's
Corner
be,
with a Q.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kira also.
As soon as you started talking, I was like, he's going to end up saying something like, all right, this game is called Coaxy Yum or Coaxy Yuck.
I blew it. Never mind. There's a first game. It's the first game that we're going to play is the first game that we played in the last one, which is Watch Solo: A Star Wars Reference.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'll wait. All right, great. You did it. First game's done. Second game, Are You For Cal Realsian? So this is going to be in like continuity events, whether it's in like the comics or a show, or a couple of them are like real behind the scenes this almost happened type situations. So but still Lando Calrissian or Obi-Wan Kenobi are the options.
Yes, right.
So
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Who wants to go first?
Me!
All right, Josiah. Are You For Cal Realsian? During the Marvel comic book event Crimson Rain, set between the events of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, a jaded Kira kidnaps Princess Leia and tries to convince her Han is not worth saving from Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, that sounds dramatic and compelling. I'm gonna say Lando Calrissian.
I guess the way we've done it before is you've both answered. Like, there's no
Go ahead.
I'm also gonna say Lando Calrissian.
Okay, that is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No,
I know that you have like a somewhat, you know, Kira's involved in that, and I actually did. I like thumbed through the entire thing. I didn't like read very much, but like, here's another example of excess in Star Wars. Like, I got a digital version of War of the Bounty Hunters or whatever. It was 800 pages. Like,
Jesus.
Because you're what do they got? They got the Star Wars comic. They got one shots of Crimson Rain, one shots yeah. Vader, Bounty Hunters with like the two-faced robot guy. That's yeah. a thing. And it's just, so I was like, okay, so this is Dr. Aphra, there's bullshit in the middle. I was like, skip. Okay, this looks like it's important. Skip. So in that, let's see, do I have this in...
The two-faced robot, that's R.V. Dent?
Probably. I don't know why they tried to make this guy a thing, but I'm always annoyed when I see him.
Dr. Aphra, was she in the mix there?
She was, yes, she
yeah.
was. All right, number two.
800 pages.
Yeah, like, so like, there's that, there's... War of the Bounty Hunters, there's Crimson Rain, and the Secret Empire or something. That's like the Crimson Trilogy or whatever the fuck. And yeah. it like, just like everything, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Okay.
Some stay dry while others feel the pain. Crimson Rain.
Breathe.
Breathe away from the mic. Breathe away from the mic.
All right. Okay, number two. Lady Proxima's top enforcer, Malik, was named after a demon who demanded child sacrifices mentioned in the Book of Leviticus.
Josiah, do you know?
I don't know for sure. It sounds made up to me, though.
I think it sounds made up is maybe one term for it, but also like too intentional or like too intelligent.
I'll say Phobie One Kenobi.
Yeah, me too.
Correct. That is too intelligent. Yeah. That is, I know that really the only reason I was like Malik, I was like, I think that was like a bad guy in Buffy once. So I looked it up and that is what it is in the Book of Leviticus. All right.
And he played Freddie Mercury, right?
Yeah.
Malik?
Yeah. He won the Oscar.
Oh, yes.
For his fake teeth.
Yeah. I'm just picturing the non-fake, like that dude, the Malik character has like a moose face. I'm like, yeah, that guy. He got big teeth.
You got big teeth. You can do it. Get him in there.
Moose face.
All right, number three. Some of Enfys Nest's cloud riders eventually became disillusioned by Enfys, splintered off, and formed the Pact, a precursor group to the Knights of Ren.
No way.
Oh, God. That sucks so much that I gotta say the Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian. Yeah.
That's Phobie One Kenobi.
Ah!
And it does suck. Like, I was just laughing to myself. I was like, these words mean nothing. Like,
it was it was funny just when it was still things that are real. Enfys Nest and her cloud rise.
Right.
Made me laugh out loud.
All right. We got another Knights of Ren question. Kira eventually teams up with the Knights of Ren in an effort to destroy the Sith.
What?
Phobie One Kenobi.
Okay, I'll be indifferent just for sake of being different. I'll say Lando Calrissian.
That is Lando Calrissian.
What?
So the whole
how does that timeline work?
The whole plot of this Crimson Trilogy, and it kind of was lost on me, but again, I was like speed reading. Is like Kira inherits Darth Maul's disdain for Darth Sidious and like fights against the Sith.
Sure. Okay.
And like again, like, you know, this is more about the comic than about the movie, but like I was ready to read this story because I knew that she like stole Han in Carbonite, right? Like I remember that was a thing. So I was like, oh, she's a crime lord. She's a bad guy. Let's see what happens. She's not a bad guy because there are no bad guys. She's just like in charge of a criminal organization, but trying to do the right thing. And it's just like, why can't the Mandalorian be a fucking killer? Like, yeah, I was so disappointed that first episode was like, oh, but he has a code. It's like, ugh, can't we just,
come on.
Can't we just have a bad guy?
And that's right. That whole comic series is like a big shell game of the Carbonite Han just getting pushed around the galaxy, right? Like,
yes. Yeah. No, it's so nothing. I mean, it's just It's all Star Wars is nothing now, but that was like the biggest nothing, and that's why I was like, I am not reading this whole thing. I am like getting the cliff notes and not respecting the comic book process. It's like, got it.
Good.
Yeah, it's so silly. We actually, when I was writing for the Retcon Punch blog, that's when the Marvel comic started. So we had like, I was like reading Vader and stuff like that, and that was pretty interesting, but like very soon it just became apparent that like nothing happens, because obviously nothing's going to happen, nothing can happen.
It's like a Simpsons episode. Like, it has to end with everybody still back where they started.
Right.
Or any sitcom for that matter, I suppose.
Yeah, totally.
All right, number five is also about the Simpsons. Number five, solo screenwriter John Kasdan says that Han Solo is his favorite character behind the bounty hunter, Bossk.
That's funny. I'm going to say Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, me too.
This is Lando Calrissian. And this is...
Yeah, Bossk.
This is
one.
How deep I had to dig to find anything close to director's commentary. Because, like, clips of the Kasdans on YouTube are, like, fluff. It's just, like, press stuff. Uh-huh. And, like, couldn't find a commentary. So, like, this is, like, what, 2018? So I, like, went back and found this guy's tweet, where it was like a year since Solo released, and he did like a thread of facts.
Oh, uh-huh.
And like, that's how, like, they just don't care about this movie. It's crazy.
No, they don't.
Again, without things like, say, comics or expanded universe books or games or whatever, Bossk is a lizard that shows up in the background in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, he's not a character.
who, like, definitely can't... I always thought he definitely can't grab anything with those hands.
Yeah. like, it's one thing to say, like, you love Boba Fett, at least pre all the, like, recent Boba Fett stuff, but, like... It's another thing entirely to be like, you know how Boba Fett's mysterious and doesn't talk much? Remember that lizard guy?
he talks like this! I'm Bossk!
In the Clone Wars, he just starts following this child Boba Fett, and I'm like, how old are you that you're just following this guy's
lead? Wanna do crimes with me?
In Lego Star Wars, The Freemaker Adventures, Dengar is, like, the running joke, and it's so, like, there's so many jokes where it's just like, well, he's no Boba Fett, but, well, he's no Boba Fett. it's so good. All right. Six. Karj. Karj, the alien at the Sabacc table who bites his nails off, is a reference to a nervous tic of Solo screenwriter Lawrence Kasdan. Is it Kasdan or Kasdan? I don't know.
I've heard it both ways.
Okay.
I mean, that's weird, so I'm going to say Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, it's like a very, who cares? So it does feel real.
Good. I'm getting good at this. It is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Honestly, the big problem with approaching this one was it wasn't George Lucas, and it wasn't like minute. Like, right. Last night, almost, I like put on the DVD of Phantom Menace. So I was like, I'll just do this. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. So trying to find that, like, writer, that tweet that I found with all of his facts, like, really helped form some of this. Number seven. I skipped it. I skipped a number. So we're number seven. The acrobatic monkey-like character Rio, voiced by Jon Favreau, was mocapped by an actor named Katie Cartwheel.
I hope so.
That's insane.
That's insane. Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
Yep, that's Lando Calrissian.
Yes! Katie Cartwheel.
Is Cartwheel spelled with a C?
Uh-huh.
This one is spelled with a K, so it's a KK name.
Okay.
That's still insane.
Oh, yeah, it's great. God. I had to put that one in there. Hot number nine, or number eight. I'm just going to say with the numbers I wrote down. Nine, even though that's wrong. Han and Chewie met on the mudball planet Mimban. Years later, Han would take Leia and their son Ben there to sightsee before Ben began his Jedi training.
Wow. Okay, so let me just kind of like paint the picture, whether or not this is true. This is like how everybody's dad takes them to Gettysburg or whatever to be like, look, a battlefield. But he has the added benefit of being able to be like, I was in the mud trenches here.
I was in the mud. I'm going to say Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, I think so too, though.
Well, that is Lando Calrissian, because as a Lego Star Wars fan, I consider all of that canon.
Uh-huh.
And in Lego Star Wars Summer Vacation, they do that. And yeah, Han's really excited. He's like, that's where I met Chewie. And Leia's like, yeah, you thought he was going to eat you. and then the tour guide's like, and as you'll see, here's the planet's first largest mud ball. And to your left, the third largest mud ball.
Oh, Lego Star Wars.
It's the best.
Number I just 10. Got a call from my dentist. Should I see if they left a voicemail?
In real life?
Yeah.
I was like, go on.
What, is this his setup? And boy, yeah, are my arms tired.
Oh,
what is it? What is it, 2:30?
Yeah, no, every time, listeners.
Instinctively, anytime someone says 2:30, I want to be like, oh, you mean a dentist's favorite time?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Literally, Charlie and I do that every time. We're like, oh, that's at 2:30. And she goes, why did... I have a dentist appointment then. Like every day, doesn't matter what's happening.
There was a while when I was scheduling my dentist appointments at 2:30 because of that.
Oh my God.
That's good.
Thanks, Mike's dentist.
Yeah.
Number 10, the character Enfys Nest was officially revealed on a Jack in the Box exclusive trading card.
Oh, that's so stupid.
Come on. Jack, the restaurant Jack in the Box?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
So we're saying officially revealed as in like before the movie came
to
out.
To the public, yes. Yeah. This is the first appearance in marketing materials.
It is so crazy in the way that like Babu Frick was revealed as a Lego and like somehow Palpatine Returned was revealed on Fortnite. So like I want to say real as well.
Well, of course it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Ah. Enfys Nest was officially revealed on a Denny's exclusive trading
No! I was literally about to say, no, it's a different restaurant.
And I wrote down some of the specials they had. The Blast Fire Burgers and the Lightspeed Slam.
Delicious.
All right, just like three more. All right, Warwick Davis reprises his role as Weasel from The Phantom Menace. He reprises his role as Weasel in Solo, his character from The Phantom Menace.
That's ringing a bell. I'm gonna say Lando Calrissian.
I have no idea. I'm gonna follow Mike's lead. Lando Calrissian.
It is. Why? Who knows? But it's Lando Calrissian.
He was one of like little Annie's friends.
No, I think he was like, I remember him laughing in the crowd with Watto.
Oh.
He was like actually himself, like not in a mask or anything.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The original train heist on Vandor was supposed to be a prison transfer rescue operation to free Boba Fett, which would establish Fett and Solo's rivalry.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I'm going to say Lando Calrissian because it's just one more thing that would suck.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it was supposed to be a prison transfer, like break. It wasn't Boba Fett. It was just some criminal.
Hmm.
All right. And the last one. Given Lando's affection for L3, it is implied that he might have romantic feelings for his partner, Lobot.
I mean...
So wait, hang on. How do you mean implied?
In comics.
Oh, in comics.
In comics. I'm going to say Lando Calrissian. Anything can happen in comics, baby.
So there's a Lando comic that I read that was actually kind of good, and it goes into like the relationship of the two of them, but it had nothing to do with L3 to my memory. So I'm going to say Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ah!
Just because he likes one robot doesn't mean he likes all of them.
A guy can dream, can he?
All right, and that was the latest edition of Are You for Calrissian? Kira's Corner. Two Qs.
Two Qs. Kira's Corner. All right, should we... We're going a little long.
Yeah,
should we try to wrap up? Or do we have any more notes?
A
real deep dive into Solo, a Star Wars story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And also the State of the Union, yeah, the State of the Star Wars. Right.
Let's see. There's a couple good toasts that I like. I forget what Dryden Voss says. Something like, let's eat a little, drink a lot, and something else. And then...
And fuck, he says. No, sorry.
And then, let's drink... What should we drink to? Let's drink to and see where it goes. I always like that one.
That's cute.
That's fun.
That's kind of like that, to all our wives and girlfriends, may they never meet.
Right. In all caps, I wrote, capes are gay.
True.
Like, any like, joke about Lando's capes, you're kind of just like, all right, what are we doing here?
Yeah, are we being really homophobic about the capes?
They can't... God, everyone in Star Wars is both so straight and so unsexual.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
perhaps too many. This was a...
They need a Hillary Duff commercial to be like... You shouldn't say capes are gay.
Is that what she did? I don't remember that.
There was a PSA. Yeah. It was like a public service announcement where like two girls are in a shop and they're like, she's like, what do you think about this shirt? And the other says, it's kind of gay. And then Hillary Duff goes, you shouldn't say that. And they're like, what? And she's like, you shouldn't say something's gay when you mean it's lame. Yeah. How would you like it if I said
from behind like a rack?
she's just the there.
Like, you know, when like you're a little kid and you go inside the.
Yeah. It's really funny to watch.
Right, when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
not now, all the time.
Yeah.
The Enfys Nest fake out at the end is like, in film terms, it's like, oh, like, you know, she takes her mask off, we realize that she's a young girl, whatever. And then they're in the yacht with Dryden Voss and they're like, haha, double cross. We actually have all of my men with guns on Enfys Nest, but then she takes off the helmet and it's somebody else. That's all predicated on everyone knowing what Enfys Nest looks like.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, her whole deal is that she's like a masked figure.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing that, because my rewatch here really literally was the Jenny Nicholson video again, and she was saying, like, the first reveal is like, oh, who is that? Like, right. is that like... a secret daughter of Woody Harrelson and Tandy Newton? Oh, no, it's just that it's
a young
girl,
woman.
Like a young, like a kid. And then she was like, oh, but then I looked up how old she was and she's like fully an adult woman just with like a youthful face.
Right.
Like, so I guess the reveal is like, girl boss.
Girl boss, gaslight gatekeep.
The whole reveal like culture that like we've been trained for is, you know, problematic is not the word I want to use, but it's tricky because now we always expect when someone takes off a mask that it's going to be a big reveal, and sometimes it's just not. Like, I remember
right. Well, but they take measures to make it feel like a reveal though, right? Like
mm-hmm.
right,
it's kind of like anticipated and framed.
Just because we thought she was a bad guy, and that was another note I had, was like, if people in movies just said what they meant, things would go a lot smoother. It's just like, hey, let me take off my helmet. I'm Enfys Nest. I'm actually kind of a good guy. Maybe you want to give me some of this coaxium so I can help a good cause.
Yeah.
No? Okay. Instead, I'm going to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colo clawfish. That is the, what Dryden Voss eats. It is the giant... crocodile type fish in Phantom Menace.
Oh,
so yes. You get a lot of meat out of that. I like that.
That's a big fish.
Yeah. It's a big fish.
That's a big gooba fish.
Big gooba fish. What did we? Hold on, I gotta find this thing.
Yeah, find the rating.
I gotta figure out what we rated Solo last time.
The I said this about Lando before, but there's a lot of goodwill spent in this movie. It's like, sorry, Dryden, we failed the mission to get the score, but we'll make it up to you by giving you the exact same thing. Like, there's no interest, there's no nothing. Like, he's just like, okay, I'll let you do it.
Yeah.
And then Lando winning in cards and not getting his winnings, a ship, and just agreeing to go with them on this adventure. It's just like... these are big roadblocks, people.
Yeah. Like, okay,
Yeah.
This one time.
I can't find the
I want to say I gave it like a 7 or something.
Well, let me see.
Have you? I know you saw this. I still haven't seen Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. Ehrenreich was in that, right?
Yeah, he was good.
Okay. Because, yeah, I haven't seen him in anything else, and that is a shame.
Yeah, I haven't either. I need to, like, actively seek that out, because I think he is good.
Yeah.
I think he's doing... He has nothing to do in this
movie. Well, the thing about this movie is I like this character, and I think you guys said something like, oh, we'll call him Don instead of Han Solo, just because as a character performed by this actor, he's very charming. I don't know if he's the exact same character as Han, like, narratively in his arc he is, but, like, I enjoy him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He's pretty good.
Did you find out what we scored it last time?
I can't find my note with, like, all the scores.
Oh, I didn't know that you kept that up.
Oh, no, just of the re-reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the Star Wars movies. I had one, and I don't know where it is. Right. Oh, wait, I just saw it.
Oh,
I just saw it.
Two more things. Kira's dice moment. When she, at the Kessel Run, she's, like, pretending to be Miss, like, trade person and selling slaves. And then she, like, knees Han in the gut or junk or whatever, and then secretly passes him the dice, which is like, we didn't think you were, like, bad. like the language of the movie would have you believe that, like, oh, this is to assure you that I am on your side, but it's like, we know.
Yeah. All right, so when we first reviewed Solo, we gave it a 6.
Okay.
With a less than sign on it, a lower 6. And then when we re-reviewed everything, the lowest one was Rogue One with a 7.9, which gave Solo an 8.1.
God, this is such a stupid podcast.
Like I said, you guys have a prime opportunity right now to start a new rubric just for the movies. You can have the lowest one movie being a 1, and you got, well, there's more than 10 movies, but it's a possibility. Think about it.
Mm. All right. Well, hey, I'll take into consideration, and when we do every movie for the third time,
I'll be back for Revenge of the Sith Part 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's
three.
Three. I don't know if all this information has changed my opinion at all.
No, it's certainly not. I knew that nothing would change. I knew it was just going to be us talking.
But it's also a good state of the Star Wars, and it was a good redux of Solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
So is it still an 8.1?
Sure.
Yeah. We didn't even pick a unit of measure. I'll pick a unit of measure.
Since it's out of 1 to 10, my unit of measure will be appearances on How Star Wars Is It by Michael Delaney. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
That's good.
Colo Clawfish. Mine'll be
Clawfish, yeah. Mine'll be probably dice, because I probably did that last time, but we'll say dice.
I mean, 8.1 can't dice. Get enough dice.
Can't ever get enough dice. All right, we're going a little long, so let's wrap up. Do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at How Stories Is on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. You can email us at podcast@gmail.com. That's what this is. Do we have any new emails? Let's check. No.
And you can leave a voicemail on my phone if you're my dentist.
yeah.
My appointment's not on Wednesday next week now anymore. It's going to have to be on Tuesday, but I'll have to call them back to make that happen. Let's see what else is interesting. We have a Patreon where you can support the show. Patreon.com/HowStarWarsIsIt. There's a bonus episode every week. There's, like Michael Delaney said, there's film commentaries for Solo and all the other Star Wars movies where we call Han Solo Don.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get, like, X amount of subscribers, you said you were going to do a commentary on Batman v Superman, right?
No!
Well, that would Don't be put that in a the world. Fate worse than death.
3 hours long, Mike and I are just like...
There are some things where I'm just like, good for you guys that you're going to skip this one. I can't, but you finally came around to it.
Yeah, we did.
We had to.
Man, that would Superman be funny. Emails of Justice, as I called it.
To do...
Yes.
To do a commentary on that movie, we're not inherently promising we're going to talk for 3 hours. We could talk about it at the beginning, like 15 minutes, and then just like both take naps.
Yeah, it's like you're tired, right? You can go ahead and take a
nap.
I'll take a nap later.
The worst violence you've ever seen.
You're tired of seeing Martha Wayne's blood on her own face? Yeah, yeah, okay. Good
There's
night.
A whole sub conversation we could have about Zack Snyder and like his treatment of women and them getting their power back, i.e. the whole plot of Sucker Punch, I think. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Josiah's but, favorite movie.
You haven't seen Sucker Punch?
I might have, but like I know like it's a plot point in a couple of his movies where the woman either is like sexually assaulted or raped or whatever and then gets her comeuppance, and I'm like, you don't need to do the first part.
You don't have to do it every time, Zach.
Yeah. Man, right. I think I have an idea for an 11th appearance on the show.
Yeah!
The first non-Batman, non-Star Wars, non-Tom Cruise.
Like, I just had a question. I was like, do I want to talk Zack Snyder for a second? I don't know if I do. If you have me talk a whole episode about it, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Michael Delaney, tell them about your videos and stuff.
So, I have recently expanded into the TikTok since my last appearance. And every day I post a new Lego Star Wars clip. And it's been nice because for once I'm just sharing something positive. And it's great.
Here's things I like.
The future of Star Wars and like the best Star Wars in recent history for me is Lego Star Wars. It's just like I would say to me, it's like how some comedians or whatever will be like, oh, I got all my sensibilities from Looney Tunes or something like that. Like that type of humor and the things that they can get away with, it's really charming. So I've been sharing one of those a day, and once I post my Ahsoka video, the other shoe will drop, and all of these people that have followed me for Lego clips and like being like, I love Star Wars, will be like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
There's
not what we thought.
There's so many comments. Like, I mostly ignore the comments now, but like, there's so many. These are Lego Star Wars clips, and they are comments about like sexualizing things and like really like it's really gross and these people are crazy, and sometimes I realize they're probably like 10. I don't think it's a big span, but yeah, once somebody was just like, Jar Jar says hi Anakin to Darth Vader, and somebody commented, how does Jar Jar know that Darth Vader's Anakin? And I just said, because it's a silly cartoon. That's all we need.
That's all we need.
Lego Star Wars TikTok, my Ahsoka video, it's going to be out in the next week. And hopefully Solo Redux. And I'm going to be even more optimistic and say that my third video that I haven't started yet, besides the script, my summer in Smallville, will be out as well.
Yes.
That's right, you watched all of Smallville.
I wrote the script because if I watch a whole show and I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a video on this, and then I don't write it, it's gone. Like, X-Men the Animated Series is gone. I was going to do something about that, but it's gone. So I wrote
the script. I just watched a whole TV show, and I have nothing to show for it.
For no reason.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's what I got coming up.
And awesome. And your names on all of those things are?
Oh, it's Cormac Michael. I believe on TikTok, it's Cormac Michael 45. Someone else. It's a rare thing that someone takes that combination of letters, but someone on TikTok already did. It's quite possible that it was me years ago and I don't remember it. But
true. Well, there you have it, folks. We did it. So, Sandwiches and Star Wars, it's about time for Tubby Bye Bye's. Like we always say,
we love you.
Tubby Bye Bye.
And may the fourth be with you. Tubby, bye-bye!
Bye-bye!